friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the September 1st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African men's football. The new month of September sees the return of the qualifying competition for the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar. In Africa, 40 teams are competing in 10 groups. The 10 group winners will advance to the final round of African World Cup qualifying in March 2022. The 10 remaining African teams will be drawn into home and away series, and the 5 winners will earn the much coveted trip to Qatar. In a Group C qualifier on Friday, Nigeria will host Liberia in Lagos. The Super Eagles of Nigeria have qualified for the World Cup 6 times, and they're the favorites against the Lone Star of Liberia, who have never qualified for the World Cup. Moses Garzio has been following the Lone Star from Monrovia, and he joins us now from Liberia's capital. Sporty greetings, Moses.
Sporting greetings, Sonny, from Monrovia, Liberia, the home of George Weah. Liberian coach Peter Butler has, for the past 2 weeks, had in training dozens of local lads, but only 7 completed his 22-man squad to face Nigeria in Lagos. The Super Eagles have lined up a star-studded side that includes Captain Ahmed Musa and Leicester City duo of Wilfred Ndidi and Kenneth Iheanacho, and Ellis Awobi as part of their English Premiership contingent. But it seems the Liberian coach Peter Butler is not bothered by Junod Roy's selection to face his side. He said there are no minnows in African football at current.
We can't compete with their financial clout, but we can compete with them in terms of our own being organised, well-drilled, well-versed in terms of our plan, how we execute it. There's no minnows in African football no more. Anybody can compete with anybody on the day, so we don't set foot into Nigeria with trepidation or fear. We'll be confident and we'll be well organised.
The last time Liberia played Nigeria in a competitive fixture was on October 14 in 2012 in a Nations Cup qualifiers. The Super Eagles hammered the Lone Star 6-1 in Nigeria. This made me ask Butler how sure he was that his team would win against the Super Eagles in Lagos.
I think that's a bit of a ridiculous question, what you just asked me. Of course we can win. I mean, please, you know, show the team and show me some respect. Do you think we're going to go there and, you know, lay down and lambs to the slaughter? We don't operate like that. You know, we're a professional group of people, and you know, you got to be respectful and of the squad.
3 years into his contract, the Liberian gaffer has been busy scouting players of Liberian origin, infusing them into his Lone Star squad. This time against Nigeria, Butler has 5 new faces included in his squad for the first time. Swedish club Degerfors midfielder Justin Sommer, Ibrahima Sumaro of Pack in Cyprus, Abu Kamara of FC Megdonaja, who plays his trade in Northern Macedonia, forward Ayuba Kosia of NEC Breda 2 in the Netherlands, and Hetara Sports Mohamed Kamara will play for Butler's team for the first time. It's often a difficult decision to make for young players in switching nationalities, but 20-year-old Ayuba Kosia said it was an easy decision for him.
Yeah, my father was born here, my mother's also born here, and yeah, I spoke also with the coach, and I like his plan, what he's doing, and it's giving me a nice feeling. At the end of the day, I'm also able to play for Holland, but at the end, I'm here, and I will do everything for this country to get the best out of it.
The lads will feature for Liberia against one of the powerhouses in African football away from home, which makes it a difficult debut. Justin Sommer don't feel it's a game of pressure for them, newcomers in the team.
Well, the pressure, I think, if you're a football player, you can't avoid it. You can't hate it. You must love it. To be honest, like, of course, they have good players, and it's a big country, but for me, it's about lifting up our team and going with the mentality of 120% to give your soul and heart on the pitch and to show the people that you want to be here.
25-year-old Brent Samaro might play in midfield for the Lone Star against the likes of Wilfred Ndidi and Kenneth Omaru.
Of course, they're going to be concentrated, but I think they don't know who we are. He don't know who I am. I know who he is. So for me, the only thing what can happen is that he will get surprised with few things because you don't know against who we're playing. I know who he is, how he's a football player. I'm looking up to him. I'm really looking up to him. We will fight and see what will happen. And for sure, even for me, I will be there also for the team to do what I can do, like in the dressing room, on the pitch. Try to say something to motivate the guys and just to say, have faith in yourself, trust yourself.
Liberia's campaign for the qualifiers were hit bigly by a car ban on their Samuel Kayondo Stadium last week, which means they will have to travel to Cameroon for the match against the Central African Republic. The tax in Lagos is amounting to claim for Butler and his men against Ross' contingent of top-notch Nigerian stars playing from Nigeria to Germany, France to Italy, and Belgium to Turkey. All might be on papers for now and followed by the verbal jabs, but the final whistle at the Teslim Bologon Stadium in Lagos will determine who takes the full 3 points. For the VOA Sunny Silas Post, this is Moses Gazio in Monrovia, Liberia.
Thanks, Moses. There has been a tug of war between top European clubs and the release of players for these World Cup qualifying matches because of COVID-19 travel restrictions. African teams have had to juggle lineups. Now, most of the African players affected come from the English Premier League. The EPL refused permission for players to head to countries on Britain's COVID-19 red list because they would be forced to quarantine for 10 days upon their return. The Super Eagles of Nigeria will have a full contingent of players for their World Cup qualifier on Friday against Liberia in Lagos. But for an away match next week against the Cape Verde Islands, Nigeria will be without 8 players based in England and Scotland. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with an African football analyst and sports TV presenter, Chizom Mbono Ezoke.
So for me, the English Premier League clubs have agreed not to release players for international duty. It's a very disappointing situation, you know, but do I blame the English clubs, Premier League? I don't really blame the Premier League because they need to look out for themselves. Like I keep saying, everybody, every human being is self-sustaining. We look out for ourselves, and they have decided to look out for themselves. So I can't really say that I blame them. But, you know, it is disappointing because we do have our top players here playing in England. We have Watford alone has a lot of our players. Like you think of Ndidi, you think of Iwobi, you know, think of Iheanacho. So it's a massive disappointment for me. It reduces the quality. It will reduce the quality of the competitions on the African soil for the World Cup qualifiers. It does reduce it, but you know, it is what it is. This pandemic is real. It's our reality now. So everybody is living it, unfortunately.
If the decision by the English Premier League clubs not to release players is implemented, 8 Nigerian players will miss the World Cup qualifier against Cape Verde on September 7. Are there other options left for Super Eagles manager?
But it's a massive disappointment. And I do know that if it's implemented, obviously, I think maybe more than 8 Nigerian players, maybe 9, 10 even, because I'm adding Italy and Spain, who have also made the same decision, especially from Spain. So 8 players, 9 players to miss that game against Cape Verde, because Cape Verde is one of 25 countries in the red zone. So Cape Verde is a very, very, for me, it's a very tough team, especially playing them on their home soil. The banana peel for Nigeria, I think for me, that's our biggest competition in that group. So it would be very sad to not have these top players. We know that it will be for countries, you know, he puts in a shift. We know that Ndidi is the heart of that midfield, that central midfield, very important player. Iheanacho is also coming into his own, he's in top form right now. So we need him to be there. But you know what? The coach has has 7 players, you know, on the standby list, and most of them are not from England or these places. We still have players who play in Turkey, Belgium. You know, that's the good thing about Nigeria. We have so many players all around the world that we might be able to, you know, to be able to pick some quality, decent players to play. Obviously, the people in his main squad are the top players. So they're the ones that we really need. But I do believe that he can get players from other leagues. Unfortunately, the Nigerian League ended the first week of August. I think August 8 it was. So we don't even have players in the league who are in top form, who are playing. So it kind of makes it difficult for him to even have the option of picking players from the league. Now they are not playing, so they are not in form. But we also know that he doesn't really think highly of our league, so that's out of the question. But from the players he has on standby and players all around the world, I think maybe should be able to pick them. Will not be the same, you know. It will definitely reduce the quality, but it is what it is.
The Confederation of African Football has appealed to the British government to grant exemptions to African footballers who are hoping to return to their home countries to compete in World Cup qualifiers. Do you think this may change the decision of English clubs?
CAF are appealing to the British government to grant exemptions to African footballers. I think this is massive. It's a big deal. I do know that for the Euros, matches that were played in England, especially the final played at Wembley, I do know that some concession was given to European countries that had dignitaries coming in. So I'd like to see if that same respect will be given to African MAs. And I think I'm watching this with keen interest, because if we don't get that same respect, that same concession, then the African MAs must look within themselves. CAF must look within itself and say to themselves, okay, why is this done for Europe and not for Africa? Because I do believe that the pandemic hit Europe and America a lot more than it hit the African continent. So it will be interesting to watch that. And if it's not given to us, they really must look inwards and say to themselves, we need to fix our home, we need to fix ourselves, because this is exactly what we need to do to be able to get, you know, to avoid this in the future. We have to look out for ourselves. Nobody will look out for us, but Africa has to look out for Africa. So for me, like I said, I don't really blame Europe. I don't really blame everybody's looking out for themselves. They pay the players, they pay for their insurance, they pay their wages, they take care of them. They spend millions and millions of pounds and dollars on them. So I can't really say that I blame them.
That's Chizu Mbonu Ezoke, an African football analyst and sports TV presenter. And she spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Chizu Mbonu Ezoke, an African football analyst and sports TV presenter. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hi, I'm Kim Lewis, moderator for Issues in the News. Join me and a panel of journalists as we discuss the top stories of the week, including the Taliban celebrated the departure of U.S.-led foreign forces from Afghanistan after a 20-year military presence. Despite pleas from lawmakers in both parties to extend the mission, the president stuck with his deadline. Listen to Issues in the News this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Kim. In African men's basketball, neighbors Uganda and South Sudan have advanced to the quarterfinals at the 30th AfroBasket Championship Tournament in Kigali, Rwanda. Uganda defeated Nigeria on Tuesday 80-68, while South Sudan edged Kenya 60-58. Joining us now from Kampala is Magume Davis Rakawinge, and Magume has reaction from Uganda's head coach. Sporty warm greetings, Magume!
Sporty warm greetings to Sunny. Uganda Silverbacks coach George Garanapola said he was delighted having not lost to neighbor South Sudan in the group game.
I personally am just so proud of our guys. Every time they face some form of adversity, a loss, a bad game, whatever the case may be, they've come back and they've recovered. And this was no different. They watched the film. We talked about it as a team after the last game. We got on the practice court. They were locked in. They were engaged. And they believe. They believe in each other. They believe in themselves. We're going to enjoy this win. We understand how monumental it is. Our players have a very good understanding of the bigger picture and what this means besides just winning basketball games to not only the country of Uganda, but for generations to come. It's very impactful.
Granapola says he believes the win will motivate his team to even do better in coming games.
The key to the game was our defense. Our pick and roll defense was on point. We prevented them from shooting the three as well as they want to shoot the three and that they have. I think we held them to under 35% shooting from the field overall, forced a lot of turnovers. We took care of the ball as well. So when you play defense, you rebound, and you take care of the basketball, you're going to put yourself in a good position to win. That's exactly what our guys did. They followed the game plan. Some incredible shot-making helps, obviously.
Silverbacks guard Robinson Opong-Odoch praised his teammates and the coaching staff for the victory and termed the win as very special.
We were very ambitious. We set goals, and we believe in each other. You know, the coaching staff, they give us a blueprint to win games, and we just believe it. And to actually make it happen and to see all the fruits of our labor just fall into our hands and controlling our destinies, it's amazing. No, everyone came through. It was a team effort, and the performance is, one for the ages. This is big for Uganda.
And in the South African Derby, Kenya vs. South Sudan game was exhilarating as newcomer South Sudan, at their first time of asking, stamped their presence on the South African continent, beating neighbors Kenya. Royal Ive is the coach of the South Sudan basketball team.
Kudos to my guys. They were resilient. We got a bunch of young guys. I think we're the youngest team in this tournament. So at the end of the day, we didn't put our heads down. We competed, and we pulled out the win, and it's a growth mindset because those guys are not happy in that room. They know they could have played better, and we advance. We live another day. So we got to keep our heads up and learn from the film and come back and get better.
Kenyan basketball player Tom Bush Wamukota said they faced a very determined South Sudanese side.
We knew this was a crucial game for us. We need to win so that we can get into the quarterfinals. They trying to make history. We trying to make history. We have history between us as teams. We played each other before. And everybody was hyped up. Everybody was ready. But they came out and gave the first punch. And give them credit. They did their job. And as coach said, that was the difference in the game. We put our fighting foot forward and we try to fight back in the game, but we just came up a little bit short. But we keep our heads up and look at it as a learning experience. We have the World Cup qualifiers coming up, so we get right back to work and try to see how that goes.
Uganda will play Cape Verde and South Sudan will tussle it out with defending champions Tunisia in the quarterfinals. For the Sunday Side of Sport, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
In African athletics, two-time Olympic marathon champion Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya says he wants to try ultra-marathons after retiring from the marathon. In a recent interview, the 36-year-old Kipchoge said, and I quote, "After leaving the marathon, I want to run the ultra marathons just to feel how it is. Running for more than 4 or 5 days or even run it once for 70 kilometers. I really want to feel the pain of running for a long time. Last month, Kipchoge successfully defended his Olympic marathon title in Sapporo, Japan. In this sunny side of sports Olympic highlight, VOA's Gwen Ooten tells us more. Sporty greetings, Gwen!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Kipchoge clocked a time of 2 hours, 8 minutes, and 38 seconds and now holds two of the top five fastest times in Olympic marathon history. And afterwards, Kipchoge called winning a second consecutive Olympic marathon the achievement of a lifetime.
But only chase one rabbit. If you chase two, then you cannot get all of them. For the last 5 months, I've been concentrating on the Tokyo Olympic Games. Not 25 months. For the last 2 years, I've been concentrating on Tokyo Olympic Games 2020. So I don't want to plan another thing when there is a big job ahead of me. That's why I respect the values of preparation and planning. That what was in my bucket list was Tokyo 2020. But for now, I want to enjoy winning here in Tokyo.
Prior to October 2020, Kipchoge had won 10 straight races until his winning streak came to an end at the London Marathon last year. That defeat cast doubts on whether he could defend his Olympic title in Tokyo. But this past April, all doubts vanished with his victory in the Netherlands in the lead up to the Games. And Kipchoge says his long journey back to the top is a testament to the endurance and strength of the human spirit.
When I was alone, then I was not really confident that I'd still win, but I tried to push on. That I got a peace in my mind to enable me to push more because I was alone, and that's what made me go and maintain the pace. So I tried just to push, and I see some people still there. I tried again, and I just got some few meters, and The distance started to increase a little bit, and that's where I maintained.
Kipchoge is now only the third man to win consecutive Olympic marathon titles, and he's arguably the greatest marathon runner and one of the greatest athletes in Olympics history. World Athletics President Sebastian Coe called Kipchoge a hero, not only to the people of Kenya, but to the entire world.
Kipchoge is a hero. He's a hero to millions and millions of people. And it goes way, way beyond athletics now. You've only got to see the emotional appeal that he has. And I've seen this close at hand when he's been, you know, in running communities and way, way beyond running communities. You know, the 2 hour barrier was a massive moment in our sport. Okay, it wasn't in a competitive race, but it was still one of those big moments. And I'm delighted actually that he has probably got towards the end of his career with another Olympic title under his belt. I think he thoroughly deserves it.
Kipchoge has not said whether or not he will race again at the Paris Games in 2024, but the 36-year-old is looking towards the future and says he wants to be remembered as someone who brought change and inspiration to the sport.
I want to actually be remembered that I changed this world and make running a lifestyle. I'm really advocating for all the families in this world to make running their lifestyles. And I trust it's the only way to come together. It's the only way to enjoy life. That's why I want to repeat to be remembered as the one who brought change and inspire the next generation, the whole youth of 3 billion people.
Following his gold medal performance in Tokyo, Kipchoge posted a Twitter message that said simply, "No human is limited." Well, he has certainly proven that. Congratulations to two-time Olympic champion, Eliud Kipchoge. And that's all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. Meanwhile, another Olympic running champion, Joshua Cheptegei, is dreaming of a training center in his home country of Uganda. Cheptegei said on social media, and I quote, "As the reigning world Olympic champion, I ask you to make my dream of completing a world-class athletics training center in Kapchorwa, Uganda. I am leading a crowdfunding campaign, hashtag Run with Cheptegei, towards this dream. Support me from any part of the world. Joshua Cheptegei won an Olympic gold medal at 5,000 meters for Team Uganda, as well as an Olympic silver medal at 10,000 meters. He holds the world records at both distances. Cheptegei's performances in Tokyo inspired this poem by African poet Albert.
Cheptegei defines the power. Suddenly, time seems to rush abnormally. I don't want to believe, yet I have to. It pinches on me to this a threat of the broader appeal. It dawns on me thinking of this speed champion, 12:58:15. Oh, the national icon of men, 5,000 meter race. The perfect inspiration for years to come. The gold medalist of 2020 Tokyo Olympic Games. The brilliant mix of fantastic tempo. Who can stand by these challenges? The umbilical cord to link with other tech actors. The wake-up call for Ugandan sports development. The interpreter of the power of Africa. The skilled profession for the rhythms of sports. Who can stand by this challenge?
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week. Right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. Turning to tennis, Serbian star Novak Djokovic is one title away from a calendar year Grand Slam. That is a sweep of the year's four major trophies. That's something that hasn't been done by a male player since 1969, when Australian great Rod Laver won the Australian Open, the French Open, Wimbledon, and the U.S. Open. So far, Djokovic has won three of those four tournaments, and he's off to a winning start at the U.S. Open in New York. The AP's Graham Agars reports.
Men's top seed Novak Djokovic has been pushed in his opening round match at the U.S. Open. The Serb surprised early on by the aggressive play of 18-year-old Holger Rune, who's ranked 145 in the world. Djokovic eventually prevailed 6-1 in the fourth. Women's top seed Ash Barty was also pushed, finally overcoming Italian veteran Vera Zvonareva 6-1, 7-6.
I think all in all, being able to work my way around that and kind of get through that in straight sets was really pleasing. And I think when my back was against the wall late in that buster, I came up with some really good stuff. So that's all you can ask, is that when your back is against the wall, you trust yourself, you go out there and pick your spots and hit them.
24-year-old Maxime Cressy led the American charge into the second round with the biggest upset of the men's draw, defeating the ninth seed Pablo Carreño Busta in five sets. I'm Graham Agars.
Thanks, Graham. Another first-round winner in New York was 24-year-old American Riley Opelka.
It's great. My body feels good. I play a lot of, you know, I've won a lot of tough three-set matches this year. My body's held up fine. So, you know, I'm going to expect it to be good. And even if I played five sets, I'd be a little bit surprised if it didn't feel good, because I've put a lot of work into the gym.
that wraps up the September 1st edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.